Again, good morning. Welcome back to church. If you will turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2, we'll get into our message this morning. We will be in this chapter for some time. We have already got several messages. This is like our 12th one in this chapter, and we'll certainly have probably about 10 or 12 more before we're finished. But when you study the book of Ephesians, you have studied one of the greatest books in the entire Word of God, because it is just full of goodness. They all are. I'm not omitting any of them. But what I'm saying is the book of Ephesians will teach you so much about salvation and so much about God and so much about Jesus and so much about the Holy Spirit, and it will teach you so much about everything you need to know about being a child of the living God. And that's what makes it such a great book. This is the reason it's probably one of the most preached among the Sovereign Grace Baptists as any other book in the entire Bible, is because it is such a great book. Let's go to verse 12, if you will, in Ephesians chapter 2. And he says in verse 12, well, let's go back to verse 11. We covered it last week. He says, wherefore remember that you being in times past Gentiles in the flesh. Don't forget that term. I've got something to say in a second, but don't forget, in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision. That's who they were. They were dirty. They were nasty. They were the worst of the worst, the Gentiles were, according to the Jews. Who are called the uncircumcisions by that which is called the circumcision, that would be the Jews, in the flesh made by hands. That at this time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were afar off, made nigh by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace, who has made both one and broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, the laws of commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, making peace. I'm going to stop there. If not, I'll read the whole thing, which ain't bad, but I like to, spend some time preaching this morning. When I'm preaching this, you're going to hear me use a term not used very often, but if you get the preachers pinned down, they'll all admit it's true, and that is spiritual Israel. I've used it a lot through here, and what I mean by spiritual Israel is that there's an Israel and there's a spiritual Israel. There is an Israel that God chose to be his nation, but there's a spiritual Israel which God chose Abraham to be the father over all who believe, and that would be the many nations that he has elected to be his children before the foundation of the world. That before the foundation of the world, God made one fold, and that is spiritual Israel. That is the people that God loves. God does not love every Israelite that is on the earth. He does not love any of one nation. God only loves those whom he foreknew, whom he chose before the foundation of the world to be his children, who he put into a fold or made a fold of before the foundation of the world. And that is the fold that we escape from as sinners. And that is the fold that Jesus comes and gets us and saves us and takes us back to. We don't escape the fold once we've been saved. It's impossible. So therefore, that is who I'm talking about. You can see it described as any way you want to, but I believe that's what God's talking about here in verse 11 and in verse 12. Now, let's get back to in verse 11. God spoke about the Jews being like the Gentiles. Everything the Jews thought bad about the Jews was they were themselves, or everything that God, that the Jews thought bad about the Gentiles, they were themselves. They were without Jesus Christ. And that's the reason they called us the uncircumcision. The uncircumcision is those who are the worst or the nastiest of the earth. And that's who the Jews thought about the Gentiles. That's who, what they thought about us at the time. They thought they were the only people that God loved, but that's not true. That's why God wrote such scriptures like John 3:16. God don't love everybody in the world. God loves those that he's going to save. And by the world, he means the different people of different nationalities. Not necessarily all nationalities, but most of the nationalities. God loves some within them all. And everybody that's not Jew is a Gentile. Without Jesus Christ in their hearts, there is no difference. There's no difference between a Jew and a Gentile. Both are lost, both are dying, and both are going to hell if they're not in Jesus Christ. And in Jesus Christ, we are all one. Remember, the Lord told us in John chapter 10, that they are some sheep, not of this fold, that he's going to bring into that fold. That is the Gentiles. In Romans 11, he talks about engrafting the Gentiles into the tree of Abraham, if you read it and study it well. So no matter who we are either in Christ or out of Christ. The Jews are no different than Gentiles. We are all the same. We're either in Christ or out of Christ. God told us in verses 1 through 3 of chapter 2 here how horrible we were. He told us in verse 4 through 9, he tells us how he came to love us, or how he loved us, and how he chose us as his own vessels, and how he had love, grace, and mercy on us all before the foundation of the world. Verse 10 tells us that everything about us is ordained of God. Every part of our life is ordained of God. We need to remember that, folks. Every time something happens in your life, thank God for it. I know that's hard sometimes, but thank God for it. Because God has ordained the things in your life. Now, God wants lost people to know something. Without Christ in your heart, you're spiritually dead. Aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. I cannot imagine anymore being without God in this world. I saw that this morning as I was putting this into words on my paper, and I thought, that must have been a sad time for me. I've been saved a long time, but that must have been a sad time for me. Of course, if you don't know it, I guess it's not. But knowing what we know now, it would be a sad day to be without God, wouldn't it? Be separated from God, wouldn't it? How awful it is. So I wrote here that this is a sad state to be in. That is, being without God with no hope. Strangers from the promised covenant, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Must be a sad state for them. And what a sad state it must be to die in. But there is hope. And that hope is in the man Jesus Christ. It does not matter who God is talking about here, whether he's talking about Jews or Gentiles. Actually, he's talking about both. We are all one in Christ Jesus. And we are all without hope and a lost state without Christ Jesus. In verse 11, he told them that whatever they thought of the Gentiles, there was no difference if they were lost. Now let's look at the first part of verse 12 here. Jews and Jesus Christ. Let's not mistake anything here. The Jews hated Jesus Christ. And let's make no mistake here, the Jews still hate Jesus Christ. The Jews use Jesus Christ to make money. But they hate Jesus Christ. They crucified him 2,000 years ago, and they would still crucify him today if he came proclaiming that he was the Son of God. And you say, well, Pastor, how do you know that? I know that because God ordained before the foundation of the world that Jesus Christ would be crucified by the Jews. And whatever God ordains, that's what happens. But make no mistake about it, they are without Christ. They are haters of Jesus Christ today. He says in verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ. Now, remember who Paul's speaking to here. You remember who he's speaking to? Who's he speaking to here? He's speaking to the church at Ephesus. He's speaking to a church. He's speaking to Christians. He's not speaking to what call themselves churches today where they're full of lost people. I was sitting there doing my study this morning. Donna was sleeping. Donna likes to sleep with the TV going. And all of a sudden I hear that lunatic down in Houston come on TV and start preaching. And I almost broke my leg trying to get in there and cut the stupid TV off. I am not going to listen to him. He's a nut. He has no idea. He started telling some stupid joke. Listen, he started telling some stupid joke about Jesus and the devil having a competition. I mean, really, there's no competitions. They never had a competition. Life is not about competitions. Salvation is not about competitions. Church is not about competition. The Bible is not about competitions. And God and the devil never had a competition. That stupidity from a man that's stupid. Joel Osteen and Oprah Winfrey both make me so sick I want to throw up. Jesus Christ is God. Very God. That man is without Christ. He does not know Jesus Christ. He has no idea who he is. And that's who he is here. He says that at that time you were without Christ. The Jews hated Christ. They hated him so much they crucified him. Why? For being the Son of God. They persecuted an innocent man. They persecuted the Son of the living God. Not called a son, but the actual seed of God was planted in Mary's womb to make him the Son of the living God. He was also a Jew. One of them. John 1, I think it's verse 12, says he came unto his own and his own received him not. He was one of them. Think about this. Here it is, the promised Messiah in the Old Testament. We hear throughout the Old Testament the Messiah talked about. The Lord gave them so many hints, even they be born in Bethlehem. And the Lord gave them so many hints that Jesus was coming and how he was coming. And Genesis 3:15, he talked about the seed of the woman. Isaiah 53 totally tells him about the crucifixion. Along with Psalms 22, his attitude on the cross. And I think that's when the centurion caught it. Remember the centurion at Jesus' crucifixion? When the centurion said, "Oh my, I think we just crucified the Son of God," paraphrased it. I think when Jesus was on the cross, he got it. Them people without God, they think they're holy people. They think they're righteous people. I'll tell you what, folks, nobody's righteous without Jesus Christ. If you have not been washed in the blood of Jesus, you have not been cleansed from your sin. Today, the Jewish nation still don't know Jesus Christ as their Messiah. They're sitting there making billions of dollars off of a man who they hate. Isn't that something? He was expected. He was the expected Messiah, and they totally did not see him. In times past, you were without Christ. Today, 2,000 years later, the Word of God explaining in detail everything you want to know about Jesus, and they still are deniers of Jesus. You tell me these are the people of God. But please understand, whether Jew or Gentile, all are in the same lost state without Jesus. And if you're saved, you were there one time before. And if you're lost this morning, you're still there without Jesus. But remember here, Paul is speaking to the church at Ephesus. Paul is speaking to the saints of God. That's what he said in chapter 2 what he did. In verse 1 he said, "And you have the quickened who were in past tense, were dead in trespasses and sin. In times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and you walked with the children of disobedience." That's who you were. You certainly are not that now if you're saved, and you certainly will not do those things if you are saved. And then he talks about being without Christ. He says in verse 11, "Wherefore remember that in times past Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision, and the flesh made by hands." Verse 12, he says, "In that time you were without Christ." Our greatest ministry as Christians is to take Jesus Christ and the message of the gospel to this world. It don't matter if they want it or don't want it. See, they're not in times past. They're not in the condition in which they were. They are without Christ. They are without God in this world. They are without hope. They are without blessings. They are without salvation. And they are going to hell. So Paul is speaking here to the church at Ephesus. He's speaking to the saints of God. He says that at that time, just as he did in verses 1 and 2, which we just looked at, "Where in times past you walked according to the course of this world." But people want to differ between Jews and Gentiles, and they cannot. There's no difference between a Jew and a Gentile outside of one's a Jew and another's a Gentile. God does not love you if you're a Jew, and he does not love you if you're a Gentile, unless you're his chosen person. I told you before, I'll tell you again, I had a man to tell me, he used to work with me, that all Jews were going to go to heaven. Because God loves them. How stupid is that? You telling me that an unbelieving Jew is going to go to heaven? Paul just said they weren't. He just said they're going to go to hell just like the Gentiles. Don't misunderstand the Bible. Don't use it for things it don't say. Take it for what it does say. Whether Jew or Gentile, people are lost without Christ and saved in Christ. Go to John 15, if you will. John chapter 15, verse 5. The Lord here, speaking of himself, says, "I am the vine, you are the branches." Please understand who the vine is. It's Jesus. And please understand who the branches are. That's us. "So I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bring forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." I got tree limbs over there in my yard right now that's cut down, laying on the ground, laying in a pile. Won't you go over and see which one's producing fruit? You're not going to find it. Just as you can find no dead people in a cemetery that's going to save themselves or quicken themselves or make a decision for Christ or choose Christ or say a prayer, no lost person will either. Without the vine, a branch is worthless. I would roll them all up and burn them if I could, but in Texas County, if you do that, you go to jail. But I'd take them. But anyway, it says that without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. What's happening over them branches in that pile? They're withering, aren't they? I'm glad of that. That way they're not all green when I throw them on my pickup to take to the compaction station. But anyway, they withered, the Lord said. And that's proof out there. That's exactly what they do. And man gathered them and cast them into a fire, and they're burned. That's all they were. Ashes. Now, unless you live in Texas County, take them out here to the treatment plant, and they'll make mulch out of them. But to the Lord's talking about, they didn't make mulch back in. They burned them. Second, notice the words in verse 12, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Brother Mink had this to say, pagan idolaters, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. This is a reference to Israel as a nation through whom God manifested himself and to whom the Messiah would come. That's who they are. Israel. And the Lord says, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. My belief goes a little farther. You cannot separate a Jew from its nation or commonwealth of Israel just because they're lost. They're still a Jew, aren't they? You're still a Gentile. When you're saved or lost, you're a Gentile. You are an American if you're born in America. You cannot separate that. You can go and join another nation and become a citizen of another nation, but you're still an American. They're still Jews. So how are they being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, I ask? The word aliens means to belong to another. The word commonwealth of Israel means citizenship of Israel. How can a Jew not belong to Israel as a citizen just as they do not just as they do not believe in Jesus Christ? Jews are Jews. That's what they're born as. But see, citizens of Israel will be the spiritual side. They're not members of that Israel. They're not part of that Israel. Everything God had in the Old Testament for Israel, he gave them people everything they wanted. And they rejected him and did bad things to God all of their lives. You couldn't ask for God to do more blessings for a nation than that. And then we get to the last book of the Old Testament, and we see that the priests have lost their oversight and allowed their men to divorce their Jewish wives and go out and get Gentile wives. And the Lord just shut the door on them. And then he opens the door for the Gentiles in the New Testament. See, Israel's still going on, just not the nation of Israel. And these people are not part of spiritual Israel. No matter who they are on this earth, Your earthly relationship means nothing. It's what you are in Christ. And in Christ, you are a child of the living God. Romans 4, if you will. It means you are separated from Christ if you do not believe in Christ. Not only are you separated from Christ, you're separated from God. You're also separated from the blessings of God in Christ. And from the salvation in Christ. Let's look closely at Romans 4 when Paul goes here. This is exactly what he's talking about here again. Look at verse 16. He says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be of grace. Listen. To the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed. To all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that which also is of the faith of Abraham. Who is the father of us all if we are in faith. Go ahead, look at it some more. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. You know what? That is a description of what you just read in verse 16. He's made Abraham not only the father of Israel, but of many nations. In other words, of all who believe. Not our heavenly father, but the father of faith. Before him who he believed, God, who quickened the dead and called those things which be not as though you were. So we see Paul talking about here about faith and grace to the end, that is to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not seeds, but seed. Not to that which only, which is after the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. If you're saved this morning, you believe God, and it's counted unto you as righteousness. Colossians 3. It goes beyond the natural descendants, but also his spiritual descendants, which is those not Israel by nature. We are all one in Christ, are we not? Can we decipher a difference between the different nationalities if we are in Christ? No. Doesn't the Lord point blank and multiple times tell us that we're one in Christ? One nation, one people, one faith, one baptism, one Lord who is over all. Yes, he does. He has one foe. He has one elect people. People confuse election when the Lord talking about Jews The Lord's not talking about the Jews' election. He's talking about everybody whom he chose to be saved, whether Jew or Gentile. What he said in John 10 when he's talking about, I have some that's not of this fold. I have some Gentiles. So I'm going to make part of this fold. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 11, the Lord says, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian or Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. There's no difference, folks. People want to keep separating us from the Jews. We're not. We're one. We're the same. If you're in the body of Christ, if you're in the church, and I'm not talking about Universal Visible Church, I'm talking about Church of Texarkana, Church of Oakdale, Church of Fort Worth, Church of Tulsa, Church here, Church there. If you're in a church as a member, you are part of the body of Christ. You may not be a arm or a leg, you may be a foot or a toe, but you serve a part of that body. And 1 Corinthians 12, the Lord talked about that body as being one. You can't separate the body. If you do, you destroy the body, don't you? I mean, you can't have an arm over here, a leg over there, a foot over there. We know who the head is, don't we? Jesus Christ. Except for some idiots, they say Mary Magdalene is. But, you know, people can have opinions. They like noses, everybody has one. What I'm trying to say is, it don't matter who you are, if you're in a church, if you're a member of the Lord's body, you're a part of the Lord's body, and the Lord's body is one. One. The Lord says when one part of the body hurts, the whole thing hurts. When one part of the body's happy, the whole thing's happy. Same thing with the fold, folks. Same thing with, why do you think Christians get along so well? I know, you got some here and some there that, you know, cantankerous. I understand, I talk to them too. I know who they are, some of them. They just got to be, you know, king of everybody, and they can't just serve their time as a Christian, as a church member, as a pastor. They got to pastor the world, you know what I mean? But we got to get by them and concentrate on the goodness of God. But it don't matter who you are. And the word Greeks here is used like Gentiles. Reading it said Greeks nor Jew, because there's only Gentile and Jew in the world. Circumcision, who the Jews thought they were, and uncircumcision, who they thought that we were. We're all one in Christ. Every one of us is one in Christ. Let's see where I'm at here. Go to Romans 2. I got one more scripture here. And I'll bring us to our third point. Romans chapter 2. Listen closely to this scripture. And then I'll close. In verse 28 of Romans 2, he says, for he is not a Jew, listen, which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. See? Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is he circumcision, which is one outward of the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, listen, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. You are what you are by the grace of God, as Paul said. We know that salvation is of the Lord. We know that God saves sinners. We know that God does as he chooses in this world. You're not what you are by natural, by the nature in which you were born. But you are what you are because you were saved by God. Ordained before the foundation of the world to be his child and to love him. To be in Christ and to be in God. I said earlier, I could not imagine anymore what it would be like to be without God. I'd hate to know that feeling. That's worse than a nightmare of zombies coming to get you, isn't it? To be without Christ and without God. Lord said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Let's all stand. If you are without Christ this morning, God saves sinners by Christ Jesus. He died to shed his blood to cleanse us. Come on, Justin. To cleanse us from our unrighteousness. Believe on him, and thou shalt be saved. It's just